We're so happy and glad that you're able to join with us on this worship day. And this is our Children's Sunday. And I always look forward to a time where our children lead us in worship. And I would like to say that those that you see here and all that will participate in our worship are not just the future of our church. We hear that often when we think about children. They're the future of the church. I would argue they are part of the church right now. And part of demonstrating that is they're not playing church. They're not pretending to worship. They're worshiping, and they're worshiping with us. And so thank you for preparing for this and participating and worshiping with us. And so we'll see that in just a few moments. You have the announcements before you in our bulletin, and I won't take time to read all of those. I will highlight that our church picnic is June 28th, and please be mindful of that. Prepare for that VBS that is coming up. And two other announcements that's not in the bulletin. One is that the consistory meeting on yesterday have changed the time of worship to 10 a.m. beginning July 5th, this July, to remain 10 a.m. throughout time instead of going back from 9:30 and 10:30, that the worship time will change to 10 a.m. beginning July 5th this year, which will mean the adult Sunday school, when the adult Sunday school meets in September, we'll be moving that 30 minutes earlier to 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And so be mindful of that. And our vice president of consistory is Karen Carr, after the resignation of Linda Young. So you might want to know those two bits of information. Are there any additional announcements? Yes.
Yes. I plan with a group of people, some of you would like to help me, to take the shed and clean that out and reorganize it. So if you want to help, please let me know and we'll put down the date. And also, if there's anything in there that you know is of importance, please let me know so it doesn't get thrown away.
Okay. And that's the shed that's right here. Yes.
The choir will be singing on the 28th, so that means we need to rehearse right after church today.
All right. Choir rehearsal after church today. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, also, there's a few items down on the table in the fellowship hall that were donated to the food pantry. There's potatoes, a couple bread items, some pears, I think, that didn't get used up or taken by the patrons of the food pantry. So if anybody's interested, please come downstairs and help yourself.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Any other announcements? Beloved, our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude.
Our sentences this morning are Exodus 19:2 through 8a. And when they set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, they encamped in the wilderness, and their Israel encamped before the mountain.
So Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him out of the
I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself.
Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my own possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine.
And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel.
So Moses came and called the elders of the people, and set before them all these words which the Lord has commanded him.
And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses repeated the words of the people to the Lord.
Okay, so we're a little out of order, but better late than never. The prelude, could we please stand up? The introit, number 335, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Thank you.
call of confession. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Please join our prayer of confession. We praise our able and guidance.
Wait, okay, now start.
We praise our able and guidance, O God, for you sent us, Jesus, our teacher and Messiah, to model for us the way of love for the whole universe. We offer these prayers of love
on behalf of ourselves
and our neighbors, on behalf of the creation and our fellow creatures. Moment of silence for personal prayer of reflection. Loving God, open our ears to hear your word, and draw us closer to you, and draw
the whole world may be one with you,
as you are one with us in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Bless of the Lord. My soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forget all our iniquities, who heals all of our disabilities. People of God, believe this news, let us live in the loving kindness of our God. Shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is a great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Our words of assurance are taken from Psalm 100.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord in all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and his sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is God. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
This is the word of the Lord.
Glory be to God.
seed it.
That was better. Now say our special music today. Now we will do our special music today.
Our special music today.
Thank you.
He did.
So now we're going to say a prayer of illumination from Joseph.
A prayer of illumination. Open our eyes. We that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we might receive what you have prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. You're the ones and you call Joseph in the second row.
Behind Pastor Kit. Our scripture reading today is from
Scripture lesson.
Romans
5:28.
Therefore,
since we are
justified
by faith, who have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that through him we have obtained access to the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not discipline us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why one will be hardened, die for a righteous man through, perhaps for God, good man, one will dare even to die, but God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Okay, I haven't done this in a while. So anyway, this isn't my sermon. I did find this on Sermon Central, but I go through them and then I ask God to find me the sermon that he wants me to preach. So this is it. It's called An Invitation, and it's written by a minister named Curry Pickard from South Haven, Michigan. Invitations come in all shapes and sizes and for all kinds of occasions. What's the most unique or ridiculous invitation you ever received? Anybody have any? Kids? Invitations? No? Okay. Julie Potter wrote that her mother volunteered to help her with her wedding invitations while she visited her parents in North Carolina. They spent two long nights addressing the envelopes and adding handwritten notes to each invitation, like, please stay for dinner following the ceremony. When she got back home, she realized she hadn't sent an invitation to her parents. Before putting it in the mail, she personalized it and wrote a note at the bottom. It says, please pay for dinner following the ceremony. Mark Horowitz has received numerous dinner invitations because he wrote his cell phone number on a whiteboard when he was working on a photo shoot for Crate and Barrel. The board, with his number on it, showed up in a Crate and Barrel magazine, and that's when the call started rolling in. As an aspiring actress, actor, artist, I'll get it right, yes. Horowitz decided to turn the calls into a project, so he planned a nationwide road trip to have dinner with all called, with anyone who called who wanted to. He received invitations for a mean lasagna in Georgia, coffee in Wisconsin, a Shabbat dinner in Maryland, all from complete strangers. So what's the most important invitation you ever received? Wait, don't answer that yet. Let me share an invitation with you first, then decide. The invitation starts with announcement in Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The announcement is we are at peace with God. This is not a matter of feeling or emotion. It is a fact. Paul had taken great care in demonstrating that we all have been at war with God. We all have rebelled against him. We have all missed the target repeatedly. Our self-centered desires have pitted us against God in a war we cannot win. We are condemned to die, but Jesus died in our place. And since God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the war is over. We are at peace with God. Are you experiencing the reality of being at peace with God? The announcement continues by informing us that God has proven his love for us in verses 6 through 8. While we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While one will hardly die for the righteous man, though perhaps for a good man, one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We Americans concoct a lot of slang in our language. It's our way of emphasizing something way out of the ordinary. So we say something's big. So instead of saying something is big, we say it's humongous. It's not a large church, it's a mega church. It's not a double order, it's a super size. When someone gives a cake with extra chocolate, it's not mega or super, it's death by chocolate. And when something or someone is the ultimate, it's to die for. Look at him. Is he to die for? Wow, look at that Cadillac. Isn't that to die for? Similarly, Paul, trying to emphasize God's extraordinarily love, said that God looked at you and me, considered us the ultimate, and said, you are to die for. While we were still sinners, there was a movie starring Tom Cruise called Minority Report. It was about an elite police task force that routinely arrested people who will commit crimes in the future. In other words, this force could see the future, and they arrested people to prevent crime from happening. It makes me wonder what God sees when he looks into my heart. What sins did he see in me as he hung on the cross dying for me, knowing full well what was in my heart, knowing fully all the time I would come up short and miss the target. Still, he loved me and died for me. During the war in Vietnam, a young West Point graduate was sent over to lead a group of new recruits into battle. He did this job well, trying his best to keep his recruits from ambush and death. But one night, when they had been under attack, he was unable to get one of the men to safety. The soldier left behind had been severely wounded. From their trenches, the young lieutenant and his men could hear him in pain. They all knew any attempt to save him, even if it was successful, would almost certainly mean death for the would-be rescuer. Eventually, the young lieutenant crawled out of hiding and got the injured man to safety. But before he could save himself, he was killed. After the rescue man returned to the States, the lieutenant's parents heard that he was in their vicinity. Wanting to know this young man, whose life was spared at such a great cost to them, they invited him to dinner. When their honored guest arrived, he was absolutely drunk. He was rowdy and obnoxious. He told off-color jokes and showed no gratitude for the sacrifice of the man who died to save him. The grieving parents did the best they could to make the man's visit worthwhile, but their efforts went unrewarded. Their guest finally left. As the dad closed the door behind him, the mother collapsed in tears and cried, "To think that our precious son had to die for someone like that." Yet, that's what Jesus did. when we were utterly helpless in total rebellion, with no way of seeking to get into a right relationship with God, Jesus died for us at our worst moments in life. We can look deep into the heart of God and see the words, "You are to die for." Jesus loved us enough to die for us. Paul continues his announcement in verses 8 through 10. But God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. God has proven that he loves us no matter what. This theme of Paul's runs all the way through chapter 8, where he concludes that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. A.W. Tozer wrote this truth majestically. It says, God knows us completely. No talebearer can inform on us. No enemy can make an accusation stick. No forgotten skeleton can come out of some hidden closet to abash and expose our past to God. No unsuspected weaknesses in our character can come to light to turn God away from us. He already knows us utterly before we knew him. And he called us to himself in the full knowledge of everything that was against us. There's not a reason in the world God will not love you. God does love you, and will love you no matter what. There was a boy who was the apple of his parents' eye. Tragically, in his mid-teens, he headed in a bad direction, stepped outside the lines. He dropped out of school and began associating with a bad crowd. One night, he staggered into this house, completely drunk at 3 a.m. His mother slipped out of bed and left her bedroom. His father followed, assuming his wife was in the kitchen, perhaps crying. Instead, he found her at her son's bedside, softly stroking his matted hair as he lay passed out drunk in the covers. "What are you doing?" he asked. She replied, "He won't let me love him when he is awake." The mother stepped into her son's darkness with a love that existed even though he did not love her back. She loved him no matter what, no matter when. So God, through Jesus, loves us. If when we were at our worst, we were put on friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of his son. Now that we're at our best, just think of how our lives will expand and deepen by means of his resurrected life. We are at peace with God. God has proven his love, and he will love us no matter what, all through Jesus' death. And listen to this, and hope does not disappoint us because God has proven out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. God continues to fill our hearts with his life. He shares his spirit with us to keep warming our hearts and communicating his love. The Holy Spirit will so fill our hearts and communicating his love. The Holy Spirit will so fill our hearts with God's unconditioned, rich, and radiant love that we will never be disappointed. The only question is, are you letting God love you? For example, how do you handle suffering, trials, setbacks, opposition, and difficulties? How do you handle that the medical report was not good? The job market doesn't seem to have room for you. The unemployment checks will stop coming soon. You didn't get the job promotion or the coveted part. Your significant other has indicated he or she does not want to be your significant other. The death of your loved one continues to hurt. Is your heart worn by God's love? You have peace with God. It's God's gift to you, but have you accepted it? Do you refuse to receive and open up the gift? Perhaps you're afraid that if you let God love you, his love will control you. Maybe you've let someone else love you and wound up getting hurt, and you swore that you would never let that happen again, not even God. Maybe you wanted to experience the realities of peace with God, but your sin and its consequences are spoiling the gift. It could be you're angry with God and don't want to let go of that anger. Or have you been trying to please God, to pile up merits as if you needed to preserve the peace or earn the peace? Perhaps you feel like God could never love you. You're just not worthy enough, or good enough, or talented enough. Or have you continued to be at war with God by obeying your will and walking your way? Maybe you've been living in doubt and completely sure of your salvation. And it could be that life is rolling along so well for you now that peace with God is not a major concern. And you've known about this great love so long that it just doesn't seem at all exciting anymore. Possibly you just never asked God into your heart to share the love with you. But hear this truth. Our hearts are restless, have no peace until they rest in Jesus. I invite you this morning, whatever your situation, to grab hold of the realities of God's gift. Here's how. First, remember the cross. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The mother of a 9-year-old boy named Mark received a phone call in the middle of the afternoon. It was a teacher from her son's school. Mrs. Smith, something unusual happened today in your son's third grade class. Your son did something that surprised me so much that I thought you should know about it immediately. That was not a particularly comforting thing to say to her. The teacher continued, "Nothing like this has ever happened in all my years of teaching. This morning, I was teaching a lesson on creative writing, and as I always do, I tell the story of the ant and the grasshopper. The ant works hard all summer and stores up plenty of food, but the grasshopper plays all summer and does no work. Then winter comes. The grasshopper begins to starve because he has no food. So he begs, 'Please, Mr. Ant, you have much food. Please let me eat too.' Then I say, 'Boys and girls, your job is to write the end of the story.' Your son Mark raised his hand. He says, 'Teacher, may I draw a picture?' 'Well, yes, Mark, if you like, you may draw a picture. But first, you must write the ending of the story.' As in all the years passed, most of the students said, the ant shared his food through the winter, and both the ant and the grasshopper lived. A few children wrote, 'No, Mr. Grasshopper, you should have worked into the summer. Now I have just enough food for myself.' So the ant lived and the grasshopper died. But your son ended the story in a way different from any other child ever. He wrote, 'So the ant gave all of his food to the grasshopper. The grasshopper lived through the winter, but the ant died.' And the picture at the bottom of the page, Mark had drawn three crosses. The cross of Christ is proof positive that God loves you enough to die for. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you want Jesus to fill your heart with this magnificent, humongous, mega, supersized love? I ask you again, are you experiencing peace with God? Remember the cross. Second, come home to Jesus. He is accessible 24 hours a day. Come home. He is unlimited grace. With no maximum lifetime limit, come home. He is love that can never be broken. There is peace, permanent and beyond anything the world can give. Come home. It is the most important invitation you can ever receive. Come home." On Sunday morning, a minister asked a young life worker to dismiss the service in prayer. He knew the young man had just that week discovered he had terminal cancer. The man came forward with his guitar in hand, stood on the steps of the platform and said, "I'd like to give the benediction, but I want to sing it." But before he sang, he gave the testimony of how he had been risen in the streets, kicked around, and hadn't known any family life. He had fallen early into drugs, had shot heroin for 6 years, had destroyed most of the soundness of his body. He sold his body for sex. How miserable he was in that situation, while trying to find some sense of meaning and worth. Then someone told him about Jesus, and he was free. He became a young life worker in order to share the word with high school students. Here are the words that the benediction Here are the words to that benediction, and if I could sing, I would sing it, but I can't, so I will read it. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. Though I forget him and wander away, kindly he follows wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I be when I remember that Jesus loves me. Oh, there's only one song I can sing when in his beauty I see the great King. This shall my song eternally be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. In closing, I invite you to come home to Jesus. The reality of God's peace are only a prayer away. And the blessing of the word. May God bless to our understanding this reading from the word. Amen. Our next communion hymn will be hymn number 188, and I think we're doing 1 and 2.
Yeah, first and second.
1 and 2, okay.
Feast of remembrance, of communion, and of hope. We come in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, who sent to the Father into the world to assume our flesh and blood and to fulfill all obedience to the divine law, even to the bitter and shameful death of the cross, on the cross. By his death, resurrection, and ascension, he established a new eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation that we might be accepted of God and never forsaken by him. And then we come to have communion with the same Christ, who has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the breaking of bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us to life eternal. And the cup of blessing comes to us as the vine in whom we must abide when we bear fruit. Remember, beloved, we come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a foretaste of the feast of love, which we shall partake when his kingdom has fully come, and when with unveiled face we shall behold him, made like through him and his glory. Since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, Christ has established for us eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation, that we might be accepted of him and never forsaken by him. So Christ has obtained that, and so we are to receive this supper in true love, mindful of the communion of the saints. All who are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and who have expressed their love for Jesus within the fellowship of the church, are welcome to the table. Let us pray. Holy and right is it, and our joyful duty, to give thanks to you at all times and all places, O Lord our Creator, Almighty and everlasting God. You created heaven with all its hosts, and earth with all its plenty. You've given us life and being and preserved us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world your Son, Jesus Christ, the eternal Word made flesh for us and for our salvation. For the precious gift of his mighty Savior, who has reconciled us to you, we praise and bless you, O God, with your whole church on earth, with all the company of heaven. We worship and adore your glorious name. Most righteous God, we remember in this supper the perfect sacrifice offered once on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sins of the whole world. And joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer ourselves to you as holy and living sacrifices. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, the bread which we break, cup which we bless. May it be to us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. Grant that then, joined together in him, we may attain to unity of the faith and grow up in all things in Christ our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the end to the earth and to your kingdom, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The same night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it and said, "Take eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the bread that for us is communion in the body of Christ that is offered on the cross for our redemption. We ask your blessing upon it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Let us eat together. Father, we thank you also for the cup that reminds us of the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our redemption. We ask a blessing upon this cup that it might be for us the communion of the blood of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you that you have now fed us at your table, and we're mindful of your gifts. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Do I announce the conference? Right now, we'll receive our tithes and offerings.
offertory prayer. Good and gracious God, we ask your blessing on these gifts, that they may be used for your kingdom. Bless both gift and giver. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Passing of the peace.
Passing of the peace.
Join us in hymn 88.
Hymn number 2.
Hymn number 2.
Every
receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.